Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects. Good morning, everybody out there. My name is Petra Harpuk. Here is Bethel fifth graders interviewing our Bethel elder, Peter Achak. Thanks for tuning into Coffee at KYUK.
This is Colin Sargent, reporting from Gladys Young Elementary. This year, our fifth grade class has been learning about climate change and its impact on the YK Delta. We recently interviewed a local elder and scientist to answer some of the questions we have about climate change. Here's what we found out.
My name is Peter Achak. I'm originally from Chivac, which is a small village community near the coast, 146 miles from here. But I've been in Bethel since 1972.
Hi, my name is Adrian. How do you know so much about climate change?
Because I've watched our weather, you know, ever since I was a small, you know, like you guys. My grandfather used to go outside and look at the weather the night before, and he would come in and tell me, it's going to be snowing tomorrow. Sure enough, yeah, it snows the next day. And it's going to be windy from a certain direction it is. If the weather was no good, then we couldn't do the things that we do, which is a lot of it. I grew up with subsistence, hunting and fishing with my dad and grand folks, and we had to rely on the weather. And so I've watched the weather, and I've seen a lot of change, you know, because we relied on the weather so much that we know what to expect. And lately, the climate has been changing a lot, and life is changing along with the climate, and the people are changing, so we have to adjust to what's happening outside.
Hi, my name is Bianca. How did you become an elder?
What a wonderful question. Yes, you know, age comes. Everybody is headed the same way. We either going to make it or not. And if you stay alive, you know, and pay attention to your whatever you're doing and not get into an accident, yes, you too will become an elder one day. You just have to be careful, keep your eyes and your ears and open so that you don't get hit by a truck or whatever and not live any longer. So you just pay attention and you will become an elder too. So that's how I became an elder. I didn't get hit by a truck.
Hi, my name is Josiah. What do you like about being an elder?
One of the things I like about being an elder is that I gain knowledge. I learn something every day, even at my age. I'm 67 years old. No, the dinosaurs weren't around when I was born. You're as young as the way you think you are. If you think you're old, you'll act old. If you think you're young, you'll be all right. And that's where I'm at. I like to go out boating, snow machining, you know, and just doing all kinds of activity, chopping wood, getting wood, fishing and hunting moose. I still do that, even at my age, because I want to. I enjoy being an elder because I know a little bit more than I did last year.
Hi, my name is Nolan. What was it like here in the past before climate change?
Main thing was our weather. We used to have snow piles up high, you know, it would make you guys disappear if you're not that tall. And then the ice would be so thick, you know, nowadays you don't see the ice as thick as we used to. You guys know how ice picks, how long they are, right? Our ice picks would disappear before you punch a hole through the ice when I was younger. And then we would have to reach down to the hole with our ice pick to try and make a hole through the ice so we can go fishing. The snow used to be so high that it would take a long time to melt away. When there's no snow, then people cannot go out by their snow machines or to get out to go subsistence hunting or gathering wood and things of that sort, you know. And when the ice is not thick enough, you can't go out there and set your fish net because it's dangerous. We see a lot of open holes, a lot of open water on the ice on our river, which is very dangerous. I was the president for Bethel Search and Rescue for over 25 years. You know, I know about how dangerous it is out there. So, yes, there's been a lot of change. We change along with the climate.
Hi, my name is Colin Sargent. When did you first notice that climate change was happening?
For me, when I started noticing some really drastic changes in our climate, it started to become so noticeable in the last, let's say, about 15 years. We started getting less and less snow. In the older days, when it became winter time, it used to stay winter all winter long until this time of the year it started getting a little warmer. But none of this, you know, like thaw and freeze, there was none of that. When it became winter time, that's it. It was winter all winter long. It used to freeze up earlier, like say in August, start freezing up. September, it would be frozen, and October was completely frozen. And then from October all the way to like April, last part of April used to be like bits of more sunshine. And then May is when it started melting away, and June. But nowadays it's not like that anymore. About the last 15 years have been drastic changes in our climate.
How is climate change hurting animals?
Of course, yes. The fish and game that used to be so plentiful around here are going away somewhere. Like the ptarmigan don't even stay here no more because there's no snow. What the ptarmigan do is they like that snow because when it starts getting warm like this, when it melts away, they follow the edge of that snow melting. When that snow melts, there's those berries from last fall that got covered up, and they still have juice in them. So they're able to eat berries that were frozen all winter long underneath that snow. But now it melts away so fast that they have to follow. So it's not necessarily there's no more ptarmigan around here. No, they're following the edge of that snow. So there's same amount of ptarmigan probably up north from where we are. And the fish too, you know, get affected by the climate. You notice in the summertime when the sun is hot, when you're drifting with a fish net, you'll notice when you're pulling it up, your fish are way on the bottom of your fish net because they're staying away from the heat. The fish don't like the heat so much. They'd rather be cool further down from the surface. And now the waters are getting warmer. Animals of every kind, the birds of the air and fish of the sea, every living thing is affected by the climate.
What is erosion and how does it make villages go away?
Erosion is when, especially like along waterways, say for instance a river or a lake, you know, where there's water, then there'll be waves. So either they be ripples, and when the waves hit the land, it'll take some land away. Land starts falling. The ground starts disappearing because of the weather. The more water we have for a longer period of time, the more erosion we've been seeing the last 20 years. The village of Nuchtak, which is downstream from Bethel, along the coast, they're about 100 miles away from here. Where their village has been eroding quite at an alarming rate the last several years. People are afraid that there will be hardly any more land for them to safely live in anymore. So they picked out a site across from that village on the other side where the ground is a little bit more firm. They are in the process of starting to move their village to higher ground. That's not the only village. Throughout Alaska, there are several villages up north, you know, with more water. There's also erosion happening up there, too.
What is it going to be like in the future?
we can only speculate, you know. We can only say it might be this way. Future, we don't know what it's going to be like. We have to be prepared. In the past, I used to be able to rely on winter, freezing up in October, so I can go get my wood for my wood stove. But I can't do that anymore. I have to gather my wood a different time, maybe, like I'm gathering wood like in the summertime when I can go out by boat and bring them home. And some people are having kind of a tough time with that because they're not gathering like they used to. It's not like it used to be. So changes like that, you know, we have to be thinking about, you know, how it might be. Like, what if there was no snow until December or January, you know? Man, that's a long time to be without wood, especially when the winter and starts to get cold. Before the snow machines came into our area, people used to run around with dog team. Even kids, you know, I when I was you guys' age, my dad used to send me to go get some wood, driftwood. Anyway, there's one guy went out to go check his fish trap out there in the wintertime, and it, you know how weather around there used to be able to change all of a sudden, and it'd be from very nice weather, it becomes really fierce out there and just really stormy, and you can't see. This one guy, he was out there checking his trap, and the weather changed on him, and he couldn't see anymore. And then the dogs, they know what to do. So his dogs are moving along, and then he's just going up against that wind, and for hours it seems, and then his dogs, they stopped. And he said, oh, no. He was thinking, oh, no, my dogs are stopped, and they don't want to go anymore. So what he did was people used to carry shovels and survival gear all the time, every time they go. So he had brought a shovel, and he, when his dog stopped, he dug a hole into the snow and made a snow cave so he can go in the storm from the wind and all. And he brought his leader. He unhitched his leader and went into that snow cave with that leader, and he spent a night in there in that howling wind and snow. When you go into a cave, you always have to put a breathing hole so that you don't suffocate when you go in a snow cave. He had a stick, and so he would poke that to bring fresh air in all the time. Next day, it was just calm, like it. There was no more storm. It was just calm. He could tell there was no more howling wind out there. So just when he was waking up, he heard a knock on his igloo. And then he was so surprised, you know, who would that be out in the middle of nowhere knocking on my igloo? And then the person that knocked spoke, and he recognized that voice. It was his wife. She knocked on his igloo and told, he said, in Eskimo, he said, honey, come on in to the house and have breakfast. Your breakfast is ready. His dogs had stopped right there where they always stopped all the time. He made a camp right next to his house.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself,
contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.